I want to ask you to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. And I want to read some scripture that I know that you know, but I want to read it to you anyway, and just once again be reminded of this man, this baby called Jesus. Luke chapter 2, there's some verses in there, beginning at 22 through 35. This happens now some days after Jesus has been born in Bethlehem. And it says this. You can follow along on the big screen or in your Bibles. I'm reading from the New King James Version. Now in the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed, they brought him, that's Jesus, to Jerusalem to present him, Jesus, to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. You see, it had been revealed to old Simeon, you're going to die eventually, but you're not going to die until you have seen God's Savior, God's Messiah, the Messiah. And so Simeon came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents, so he was there in the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he, that Simeon, took him up in his arms and he blessed God, and he said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation. And I can just see the inexpressible joy in Simeon's face. Because he knew that God had not only spoken to him, he knew now that God had revealed to him, this old Simeon, the Lord's Christ, the Messiah. Oh, he said, lifted up this baby and said, mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light, I love this prophecy, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. I think what I love about this more than anything else is the inexpressible joy in Simeon. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. And I wonder sometimes if we experience and express and display that kind of joy, knowing full well we too have met the Savior. And I think I just love this picture of Simeon in his praising and his thanksgiving to God, knowing that he has seen the Messiah, knowing that he has seen the Savior. And I wonder sometimes, do we exhibit that kind of joy? Do we express that kind of joy when we too have met the Savior? Now let me divert from that just a little bit for a little while. God has blessed us again this year. Amen? God has blessed us in this congregation, in this church, in this community, and in many of your families. God has blessed us. I was just thinking the other day. Here's one example. And this is no credit to Jim of the Free Methodist Church. This is the goodness of God. God has blessed us with numerical growth in this congregation for 8 consecutive years. That's the goodness of God. And God has blessed us. He has brought people to Himself. We call that being born again. That's the goodness of God. And God has blessed people in transforming ways. He has transformed us from being lost to found. This is the blessing of God. And so I'm just reminded again at year's end here, I'm reminded of that joy that Simeon had in his heart because he says, I have seen your salvation. Friends, we have seen his salvation. He has blessed us again. We have seen people healed. We have seen people restored. We have seen people forgiven. We have seen people born again into the kingdom of God. That means they will spend eternity in heaven with Jesus. Versus prior to their commitment to Christ, they would have spent eternity in hell with the devil. That's good news. That's a big deal. And God has comforted, and I said a few things. God has done so many things in our midst this past year, and I just reflected the last few days. God has been so good to us. I think that could deserve an amen. God has been so good to us. We have seen His hand. Some of you have seen it in a very personal way in your lives. I praise Him for His grace. I praise Him for what He was doing in your lives and mine. I praise Him for what He's doing in our communities and in churches. And I just want to say thank you again, like we took some weeks at Thanksgiving to say thank you, God, you have blessed us. Sometimes I think we don't deserve His wonderful blessings and His mercy and His grace, but He has blessed us. And I'm thinking we are just on the verge of yet another new year. Each new year, I know that some of you feel this way too. Each new year we wonder, will this be the year that Jesus returns? This last year has been a wonderful year of blessing and yet a traumatic year for many. As I mentioned and prayed about, loss of home, loss of family, loss of health, loss of finances, loss of many things. And yet I want to remind us, our hope is not in things, but in Jesus. And so I look forward to this next year and I wonder, what now will God have for us? And here's what I pray for. Here's what I'm already praying for 2011. Because God has blessed us year after year after year with numerical growth, with people coming to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, I am already in prayer, and I would challenge you to be in prayer with me, that God now will touch us in a way that starts to bring a real kind of a spiritual growth within the body of believers, within the church, that is real and identifiable. Not only within, but with outside the building. That people are so on fire with the Holy Spirit of God, are so in love with the Master, are so transformed by the Word of God and by His Spirit, that people take notice. That's what I'm praying for the next year. God has blessed us with numerical growth over and over and over, and I am praying, God, challenge us in new ways to be the spiritual people, the holy people, the transformed people that you need us to be, so that we can reflect Jesus and bring glory to the Father. That's what I'm praying for 2011. And I'm going to challenge us. I'm going to challenge us next week from Revelation. I'm going to challenge us beyond that from the Sermon on the Mount. I'm going to challenge us beyond that from the book of James. That we will take our spiritual game, if you will, if you're sports-minded, to a new level. Not for glory for Jim, the Free Methodist Church, or for you, but for glory for God. I have been reading books about transformation. I have been reading books about revival, and I believe God so desperately wants to do a new work in His church in America and around the world. But His people need to humble ourselves and pray and seek the face of God and take our spiritual game to a new level. That's what I'm praying for 2011, that we will see a spiritual growth that is recognizable within and without. Not to beat ourselves on the back or toot our own horns, but to glorify God who is in heaven. That's what I'm praying for 2011. And I recognize that as I say even that, you are probably thinking or could be thinking, preacher, what are you saying? I still lack something? I'm simply saying, friends, I am earnestly praying that God will do a transformational work in all of us, beginning with me. A Holy Ghost kind of transformation, if you will, that we are so obviously Jesus followers that the world notices. That people that I go to work with, or you go to work with, or is in your family, notice you are transformed by Almighty God, and they desire that too. I heard a quote this week about Ben Franklin. Here's what he said. Many are they who celebrate Christ's birth. Okay, we can relate, right? Many are they who celebrate Christ's birth. Few are they who keep Christ's precepts. That's what I'm talking about for 2011. That the body of Christ in this church and in the next one and the next one, and maybe you're visiting us from today in your church, that in 2011 the body of Christ will be so alive in the Spirit of God that we bring Him a new kind of glory. And perhaps that will bring numerical growth. But I'm praying for spiritual growth. Listen to me, friends, just for a moment. Listen to my heart, and this applies to Jim too. Way too often, I fear, we come to God the Father with our time, with our talents, with our energies, with our treasures, whatever it is, like Cain. Way too often, I have been there. I am also guilty of coming to God the Father with something that is just good enough. That, or the attitude, that should do. Or this is my, well, this is what I got today. Way too often, I fear, and I have been there, we come to God with something less than our best. And as long as we do, God is never going to send revival. Until His body comes together, people of God all over seeking the face of God earnestly for revival, repentance, for Him to do a new work. Until we come together and do that, I don't feel God is ever going to do a revival amongst us. I fear way too often, and please forgive me, I'm not scolding us, I'm talking to myself here too. I believe He wants us to take our spiritual game to a new level, to new heights. I believe that God so desperately wants to do a work of transformation in our cities. And He's going to need the church to come along with Him. He's going to need the body of Christ. And when we come to Him with the attitude like Cain, maybe even unknowingly with second best, or the attitude, this should do me for the week, He's never going to bless and send revival until we change our attitude and give Him everything that we've got. Give Him all of our energies, all of our time, all of our thought processes. And no, I'm not telling you all to come to the ministry. God has not called you to do that. But what you are doing, give it your best and give God some time each and every day. Earnestly seek Him. Earnestly get into the Word of God every day. If we don't have time to seek His face and pray and get into His Word every day, we're too busy. Eternity, friends, is at stake for millions. Maybe it's no longer at stake for you. Maybe you have made a decision for Christ. But millions around the world, eternity is still at stake, and God needs His people to seek His face on behalf of themselves and the people of the world. He wants us to take our spiritual game. I fully believe He wants us to take our spiritual game to a new level. Way too often, I fear, the body of Christ is more concerned about what time the next sporting event is and then spending time with Jesus. Way too often, everything else gets the priority in my schedule but Jesus. I'm simply praying that we will put Jesus first in what we do. I am praying for 2011 for transformation of this church and myself and this community, that God will bring a wonderful work amongst us and we can see it in epic proportions. I have read enough about revival, friends. I know God wants to do it. I know God wants to bring revival amongst His people and save our communities. I know the heart of God. Not because I'm that smart, because I know what His Word says. I'm talking about praying for people who long to be used by God wherever we work, whatever we do, whatever we're called to. Friends, God is drawn to humility and holiness, and I believe that's where His church needs to start, humbling ourselves and being holy. I'm praying for this next year to be a year of humility and holiness by God's people, beginning with me. I'm praying that we will be a holy people at a new level. I have said this time and again, and I've said it already this morning. I believe, friends, God wants to do so much more in our lives, so much more through the body of Christ, so much more in this church and in churches all over this community, America, and the world. I believe God wants to do so much more. Why? Because He's not willing that people should go to hell. That's why. Because He's not happy with lukewarm Christians. That's why. I believe God wants to do much more in our churches and in amongst us. Friends, do you long for revival? I asked you this some weeks ago, and I pray for it. I get together with pastors every week. We long for and pray for revival. Why? Because people are perishing every day all around us. And until the church is revived, revival will not happen in the streets. I long for and pray for God's presence to be so powerfully evident in His church. Your church, this church, the next one down the street. I pray that people are so revived inside the church that the world sees Jesus reflected in us. Friends, if we're ever going to be change agents, this is a quote from somebody else I read, if we are ever going to be change agents for Jesus Christ, which is what He has called us to do, to change the world, we must be changed agents ourselves. We must be on fire with the Holy Spirit of God ourselves. Radically transform lives. You're going to hear me say that a lot over the next 2-3 months. Radically transform life. Think of Peter for a second. The fisherman and Andrew, his brother, and James and John. Simple fishermen. Think of the rest of the 12. Or Apollos and Barnabas and Timothy and Paul. Simple people, but radically transformed people by the Spirit of the living God. God is not calling us to be any different, but He is calling us to be holy people. And He is calling us to a level of commitment to Him that is real. These people were just ordinary people, just like us. And yet they were radically transformed people by the Spirit of the living God. And I believe that's what God wants of His churches today. Radically transformed people. Radically changed by inviting Christ into our life and allowing the Spirit of God to take over. God can and will send revival when we humble ourselves and pray and seek His face and turn from our wicked way. Our spiritual walk, I feel, must be taken up a notch. And I know you say, Jim, you expect too much. I'm only reading what the Word of God says and understanding the heart of God that says He's not willing that any should perish. Our prayer, friends, in our church, in your church, in our churches, our prayer should be, Lord, do whatever it takes to send revival, to save souls. Our prayer should be, do whatever it takes to send revival to this community, to this church, to your church, to the next town. Our prayer should be, glorify your name in this community, O God. Do whatever it takes. Do whatever it takes to save my family, to save my co-workers, to save my city and this nation. Do whatever it takes, O God, to transform your church. That's what our prayer should be. Do whatever it takes, O God, to transform us to be the people you need to glorify your name. Oh, we've had a good year, and I praise God. And I just wonder what He wants to do next amongst His people. I'm not talking necessarily about another program. I'm not talking about something we've got to bring on board because everybody else is doing it. I'm talking about individuals. I'm talking about us humbling ourselves before God and seeking His face in corporate prayer, individual prayer, whatever it is. I'm talking about praying through. And when I say that, I mean praying through till we see God move. I'm talking about being faithful to God when we know He's called us to something. I'm talking about a new level of commitment. I'm talking about obedience to His Word. And friends, I'll challenge us again. We got a new year coming. If you've never read through the Word of God in a year, please make that attempt this year. I never did it either till somebody challenged me. Please try to do it. It is doable. And if you don't have a Bible, you let us know. We'll get you one. But how are we going to know what's in His Word if we don't spend time in His Word? And so, friends, I'm just talking about obedience to His Word. I'm talking about Christians, godly people that go to work on Mondays, come to church on Sunday, do what we do throughout the week, and look like followers of Jesus. That's the spiritual growth I'm talking about. A new level of spiritual holiness in our spiritual walk. We have a lot to do for the kingdom of God. I recognize that. But we should not be doing anything without seeking His face first. We should not be doing anything until we've prayed through, until we've heard from God. Whether it's classes or Awana or Bible studies, women's group, youth group, men's group, building a new church, which we have talked about. We shouldn't do anything until we've sought the face of God. And I've been told before, you're pretty hard to please, aren't you? And I've been told before, you're just never satisfied, are you? And I've been told before, you maybe have too high of expectations, don't you? Well, I just think of it this way, friends. When I see souls that are dying all around us every day, and if they have not decided upon Jesus, the Bible says they're going to hell. And I just see folks, I read the papers, I'm involved in funerals, and I see folks going about life as usual, every day. And pretty quick, life is over, and the church, myself included, have not reached them for Jesus, have not even told them about the good news of Jesus, then I am not satisfied. No. When it comes to God's people being less than identifiable, in other words, when I go back out to the workplace or I go out into the streets or the highways or the farm or the byways every day and people don't recognize that I am a Christ follower, then I am not satisfied. When it comes to souls, as long as there are some folks around us that haven't come to know Christ, we should not be satisfied either. I am praying that this year is a year of great joy in Jesus, but a year of great joy in spiritual growth for Him, a year of great joy in spiritual growth for the glory of God. I've said it already, I'll say it again, not for Jim, not for the Free Methodist Church, but for the glory of the living God. Let me close, our time is up, with this, friends. I'm willing to ask you to take one of those, either now or next week or the next, to take one of those visitor cards that are in the pew, in the church pockets, And write down there, Jim, I'd like to hear you preach, or I'd like to hear something about, and write down the subject. And I want to do that for a couple of reasons. One, it'll challenge me to research some things that maybe I have challenged, not researched later. But the other thing I want to do that, I want you to know that we all need to dig in this Bible and grow together. And friends, I feel that one of the greatest hindrances to our worship of the living God is time. Oh, I know we give him 60 minutes on Sunday morning. You know what I think God is saying to that? Whoopty. That's what I think God is saying. I'm serious, friends. Please hear my heart. God has challenged me. And numerical growth is wonderful. But if people are still going to hell all around us, it's not wonderful. God has challenged my heart. As your pastor, your friend, your brother in Christ, as the shepherd, we need to take our spiritual walk to a new level. We need to seek the face of God at a new level. Everything else in our week takes precedence over Him, it seems. Too often on Sunday mornings, other things take precedence over Him. He's only asking for an hour or two a week when we come together corporately, and too often times we don't have the hour or two a week. We are coming like Cain with something less than our best. We are coming like Cain that says to him, "This should do." God has challenged me, friends, to take my spiritual walk with Jesus to a new level, to glorify Him, not for Jim, but to glorify the Master. And I just wonder, can we exhibit genuine joy in Jesus like Simeon did? All throughout the year, not just on Sunday morning for a half hour or so, but can we exhibit genuine, inexpressible joy to God the Father because mine eyes have seen thy salvation? Can we do that this year? Can we long for more of Jesus Christ? Too oftentimes, and I have been there, friends, I will confess to you, just getting by in my spiritual walk. Just getting by with Jesus. That's not what He expects of me. That's not what He expects of the church. Can we long this year for more of Jesus? Can we give Him our best in 2011 instead of what's left over?